Hello and welcome to this episode of Turning Towards Life. I'm Lizzie and this is Justin and we are Third Space. If you want to find more about Third Space, you can go to wearethirdspace.org and you can always email us as well, lizzie@turningtowards.life or justin@turningtowards.life. We're here again for an unrehearsed conversation with the beautiful springboard of Ursula Le Guin's translation of a piece called that she calls Shameless. And this is from the, I always say this wrong, Justin, the Tao Te Ching, is that right? A way of saying it.
I'm
anyway.
Sure somebody better than both of us will tell us how.
Yeah, exactly. You can correct us. But a beautiful passage from Ursula. And so each week, Justin and I take it in turns to choose a different source to lead us into different territory with one another. So this week, this is going to be our source together. We'll each read it and then see how the conversation unfolds. As always, it is a super centering, brilliant practice to be here with you, Justin, for me, and to wander into these new territories, these new frontiers of our understanding and our mutual foraying into places that we wouldn't have gone with each other before, because this is a new, brand new conversation. In one way, each conversation is new, and then the whole conversation is an ongoing, quite old one now, because we've been doing this for something like 4 years, I think, is the thing. So just to say, everybody who's listening at whatever time in history is welcome here. And this is a great joy for us to be here to read this and to see how the conversation unfolds from here.
So much, Lizzie, and welcome everyone. It's always amazing, Lizzie, hearing you when you get to introduce what we're doing. And I remember that we've been doing this for more than 4 years, which means we've had hundreds of conversations. And it feels new every time. I think that's part of the point, is to keep on turning towards. I've been thinking a lot recently about how we're so encouraged not to be in newness and freshness and the arising of the surprising in our lives. I think our culture is really strongly oriented away from that, with great cost, actually. So we're doing this quite radical thing, which is having a practice which is deeply connecting between you and I, but also with many other people. So I know I'm speaking on behalf of the many people who listen, who feel really deeply connected into this conversation. And I want to say hello to all of you and thank you for being part of our surround. And it's also really unknown. So every time we begin, I have this strong feeling of, oh, I don't know what we're going to say, or how we're going to say it, or how it's going to go, or where it's going to go. So this source, which I chose for this week, is from the Tao, and we've chosen sources from Ursula Le Guin's amazing, amazing translation. And I wanted to bring this week, Lizzie, because it's right in my mind and heart this week, as I'm stepping into the possibility of a role which is going to call on me to take care of something that really matters to a lot of people. And I've been wondering how to come at this, how to take up a role of responsibility and leadership in an endeavor that matters widely, and where I will have lots of opinions about what's called for, and other people will have lots of opinions about what's called for. And I've been really wondering about, and the Tao is such a wonderful orientation to it, and this one in particular. So it's very alive for me. And before I read it, I just want to say to everyone, in case you've just joined us, you can always find the sources. We have a lovely Facebook group, which you're very welcome to join, and you'll find all the sources, and all our conversations go out there every Sunday. And we're also on Instagram, and we have a lovely website, turningtowards.life, and we have a podcast, and you can find us in all of those places, and you can find the source there too. So this is Shameless. To be in favor or disgrace is to live in fear. To take the body seriously is to admit one can suffer. What does that mean? To be in favor or disgrace is to live in fear, Favour debases. We fear to lose it, fear to win it. So to be in favour or disgrace is to live in fear. What does that mean? To take the body seriously is to admit one can suffer. I suffer because I'm a body. If I weren't a body, how could I suffer? So people who set their bodily good before the public good could be entrusted with the Commonwealth. And people who treated the body politic as gently as their own body would be worthy to govern the Commonwealth.
Shameless. To be in favour or disgrace is to live in fear. To take the body seriously is to admit one can suffer. What does that mean, to be in favour or disgrace is to live in fear? Favour debases. We fear to lose it, fear to win it. So to be in favour or disgrace is to live in fear. What does that mean, to take the body seriously is to admit one can suffer? I suffer because I am a body. If I weren't a body, how could I suffer? So people who set their bodily good before the public good could be entrusted with the Commonwealth, and people who treated the body politic as gently as their own body would be worthy to govern the Commonwealth.
Thanks, Lizzie. Yeah, I came at this because of the first part, and I'm really drawn to the second part. So I came at this because of the favour or disgrace thing. And I suppose I've known about myself for a long time that there are parts of me that are really, really deeply attuned to, will I belong or will I be thrown out? Will I be welcomed or not? And those parts of me which are very fearful take also being in favour or disgrace, being liked or not liked, being approved of and not being approved as the as like the beginnings of I'm going to get thrown out. I'll have no home. I'll have no friends. I'll have no safety. And it's become very important for me to know that, because I notice that when those parts of me come forward and are leading rather than something much bigger and deeper and wider and more essential in me, it's really easy for me to be, first of all, very afraid, and then second of all, to lose contact with my own integrity. The number of times I've sort of bent this way or that because some part of me said, sort of whispered at me, go this way, then everything will be okay. And all of the, it's incredibly painful, twisty place to be. It never resolves itself. It never, the promise that if I keep on bending myself this way and that way, never ever has resolution, because the moment I've done that once, I'm now terribly, terribly frightened that somebody else will find out that I bent out of shape in order to get belongs one place. You know how this goes. That's what got me into this. But I have to say that what really moves me is taking the body seriously. And as you were reading, I could feel this great wave of relief about what would happen if in any place where things mattered, which is everywhere, we took seriously that we're bodies. And that because our bodies can suffer, the first thing to do is to take care of them. And it's so radical, because there's a lot of sort of very fashionable in some circles talk about self-care and the value of self-care. And it sort of normally equates to, I don't know, have a bubble bath or eat an ice cream or something. Go to your yoga class. But it's often got a very narrow view. Self-care, just self-care, I don't know, because you're worth it, which makes it sound like a shampoo advert or something. There was a very famous shampoo advert which said you should use the shampoo because you're worth it. But actually, Lao Tzu is inviting us into something so gorgeous, which is to recognize that we are all bodies and we all suffer, so we better take this seriously. Everywhere.
Yeah. So I'm, as always, by the way, when I read these things, so I'm kind of addicted to Lao Tzu, in that when I don't know what the hell's going on, I read this and then I even more deeply don't know what's going on. So I use it as a kind of conscious discombobulation tool, you know, when I think I'm sure of something and it's tearing me apart, it's like, ah, this. This helps me to really realize I don't know. And sometimes not knowing is the kind of undoing that I feel like I need. So that's the quality that I experience when you read this, and when you were also saying what you're saying, is there's a kind of undoing of my system or structures that happens. Like there's gaps between, so I can see a little bit of light through the kind of sealed parts of me that seem like they're so convinced that each other is right there. And then you go like that, you open the gap a little bit with this poem, and I can see that there's something else. So the something else-ness is a gift, because all the while I'm sure of myself, I can't open a different horizon of possibility for myself. So this shifts the ground beneath me. And as you're speaking, that's what's happening to me. Like, I'm feeling the not knowingness and the kind of confusion, and these are English words. They are coming through my system and I'm being undone, but I don't really know what's going on. Like, that's the feeling that I get. And what happens for me in my experience of it is that I feel invited to sink beneath the question of, do I look good to other people, into a much more profound question of impermanence and suffering. So it's kind of bringing me from a piece of me that's self-protective and frightened and image management oriented, where I'm trying to manage what you think of me all the time, and that's the level at which we're interacting. It's taking me from that consideration. It's showing me that's what I'm doing, number one, by that first sentence about favor and disgrace shows me that that's what I'm up to. And I go, oh yeah, there we are. I'm basically managing my image my whole life, managing what you think of me and managing what I think of other people, so I don't get upset about what I think of them. And I can just see that so clearly by the power of that first sentence. And I'm able to welcome that. You know, I can see that that's going on. And then, boom, to take the body seriously is to admit one can suffer. It's like they're just different orders of something for me. So then I kind of move into, oh yeah, suffering. Like suffering, the acknowledgement of suffering somehow undoes my little self that's frightened and trying to make everybody think something of me that's positive, or that I should be like, or something in the world. And so I get kind of dropped into, oh, there's a bigger question here than whether people think that I'm a good person or not. There's something way bigger. I wonder what that is. So it kind of, I feel launched into, what on earth is that? And then it gives me this kind of feeling of, oh, there's a different order of question here, that if I was to hold and I had power, so if I was somebody who was required to treat the body politic in a certain way because of the role I was holding, if I was living into the question of the body and suffering, I feel like my heart is so connected to so much more when I'm in that question than when I'm in a question of, what do I look like to people, and what's my image being portrayed like right now, and am I doing the right thing according to what they think I should be doing? Like, it's such a different place to come from in our systems as beings, as humans. And it's so understandable and easy to be in that smaller place, that smaller thinking of whether I look good to you in your eyes because of what I did, and how do I manage that experience. That's going on all the time, but it's not a place to live from or lead from or govern from or help from or be useful from in terms of what the world is asking of us in our just even our relationship, Justin. You know, and it then extrapolates to much wider systems. And when we're holding, the more we hold, I think the more important these questions are.
Gosh, I love this move you made, Lizzie. I'm just going to say back, which is to see if we just take the first verse of this, that there's a really important surface, something that we all know about, which is our dynamic of trying to live in favour and not disgrace, and everything that that produces. Actually, I'm thinking, even as I say that, that one of the things that that produces is how paralysed or insistent or diminished we get if we find ourselves in disgrace, like disliked. And Lao Tzu and Ursula Le Guin, like you say, are inviting us to into something that can, that is bigger and wider than all of that, that can hold that, that can go, I see you, parts of me that are caught up in the dynamic of image management and what you'll think, and then can settle into a bigger, wider, way kinder question. And you and I have talked about this many times in our conversations, Lizzie, that it feels like to me, the distinction between the sort of the parts of us that want to manage things and protect things and project a certain image, and then the something of us that is more essential, the bigger essential self that we are, that we share with all other humans and with all of existence, really. And I could feel as you were talking, that your way of talking about it was inviting me step by step into this deeper place, which can hold that of me that gets into a panic. And that's really the place. It seems so clear to me as you were speaking that that's the place in us from which to lead. And it's also the place in us from which to parent and from which to teach and from which to be friends and lovers and partners and colleagues, and when we can, and just to be ourselves, when we can come at life that way so much more as possible. And I can feel myself settling into that right now as we're talking. And then by taking what you said and taking what Lao Tzu says, what that invites us into very specifically here is something that's usually invisible, I think, mostly in our culture, which is we suffer. Are we going to take that seriously? Are we going to stop pretending that we're sort of brains on sticks, trying to work everything out and think everything through? Mm. And actually really tenderly connect with how beautiful and how painful it is to be a person, and how much goodness we can bring to one another if we're really willing, and how much attunement we can bring to one another. Because to know that I can suffer and to know that you can suffer is to dedicate myself to listening in a particular way, being affected by you in a particular way, letting it all in. It's what might be called vulnerability in a way in our current language. So then it's so hope making to wonder what it would be like for each of us to cultivate, and picking up what Lao Tzu says at the end, to take our own bodily good seriously enough that we can be entrusted. So isn't that something? Like, I think mostly in the culture most of us have grown up in, the people we've been taught to trust are the people who are busy all the time and eating themselves up with self-sacrifice or something like that, or getting to the top. Or what would it be to really trust one another for our commitment to take really good care of ourselves? And what would it be to know that people who take really good care of themselves might also be the people who could take really, really good care of everyone else, because we've learnt to treat others as gently as we treat our own body? And wouldn't it be wonderful to have gentleness with one another be a virtue, Because I'm not sure it often is. I think other things have become virtues in our culture. Being decisive, getting my way, getting to the top, being successful.
Mm.
What about being really dedicated to mutual gentleness?
Mm.
So radical and inviting.
Mm. I'm really moved by this kind of, this invitation of, if I treat my body well in the acknowledgement of my own natural given probability, givenness of suffering, that in the acknowledgement of that, I become trustworthy because it connects me to every other body. So by being in relationship with my body in that way, I'm also considering my sameness, and therefore I can feel my connectedness with life in the question about the body way more than my connectedness with life appears at the favor and grace point of my structures. So when I'm considering favor and grace, I feel competitive, I feel afraid, I feel like it's like dog eat dog out here, I've got to kind of prove myself. And then I feel into the body and I think, oh, but we've all got this. We've all got eyes, we've all got a heart, we all get broken, we all, it's like the world calls forth way different actions, way different, I would make choices completely differently. It's like two profoundly different stories to live out of in terms of what's to be done and how to relate and what I might consider myself as and what this whole deal is. It's a completely different thing. And who knew? I'm just realizing anew right now, who knew that connecting with our bodies would translate to a wider kind of compassion? It seems really kind of individual to relate to my body, but then as I do it, and my experience of it is that it's a deeply connecting thing. So I'm not connecting with my body and disconnecting from everyone else. It's like the connection with my body connects me to everything else and the earth too. So self-care feels like a weird term in this place for me, because it's not it, when we take care of ourselves, we are taking care of ourselves, but we're taking care of much more at the same time, which doesn't get said in that phrase.
It's like world care. And if world care doesn't include caring, being gentle with this one, what's it going to be?
Yeah.
I was speaking to someone this week who was telling me about something that I really know in myself, which is they were saying about themselves, I'm able to put up with a lot of stuff. I'm able to tolerate a lot of pain and discomfort and self-abandonment in order to get things done that I want to get done.
Mm-hmm.
So I automatically assume that that's what everyone else can do and should do. because the world becomes the way that we treat ourselves.
Yeah.
Becomes the way in which we, it becomes the background from which we relate to the world. So the self-punishing can so easily become punishing others or expecting that others should be fine with being punished or self-punishing.
Mm.
And in order to shift that, I think that's why it's so sweet to have these words, gentleness and setting our bodily good, attending to our bodily good because of how it enables us to be trustworthy with the world.
Mm.
And I think for many of us, it seems to me that we mistake that, which is why we need Lao Tzu, because we think that we're taking good care of the world, we're being of service by eating ourselves up or burning ourselves out.
Mm.
What kind of world care is that? And whilst you were talking, I was imagining, Lizzie, that, you know, what if somebody said, because this is true, There's this very precious, unique one called Lizzie. There's only one of her, and there will only ever be one of her. And because there will only ever be one of this one, she's infinitely precious. And because she has a body, she'll suffer, because that's the nature of having a body. Or if we said the same about Justin or anyone, how would we treat that one? Like, if someone handed us this precious thing, so there's any one of these in the entire world, it's unique, it needs your care, I think it would awaken in us the, oh, that needs our care. And yet, maybe the other way of going with Lao-tzu's text, Lizzie, is maybe because we get caught up in fear of favor or disgrace, we forget to treat ourselves like the precious ones that we are. We go, I'm nothing. I'm completely dependent upon other people's opinions of me. So I'll do whatever it takes to myself, and maybe to other people too, in order to not have to feel the fear of falling out of favor or being in disgrace. Like you're saying, you keep on saying, it's the wrong place to start. The place to start is, this one is infinitely precious, and everyone is one of this one. And the whole body, the commonwealth, what Lao Tzu calls the commonwealth, is made up of hundreds or thousands or millions or billions of ones like this. What does it take to be worthy to contribute or to govern that?
Yeah. Well, what I can tell you, Justin, is when you were saying those words about preciousness to me, I was like, oh, you know, I can feel my aliveness arise. And the truth of it, yes, there isn't another one like me. You told me the truth. You know, and you told the truth about yourself. That's true. And so in that moment, just like the consideration of taking the body seriously, I was like, in the street, I just heard a voice and I thought, they're a precious one. And there was another voice and I thought, they're a precious one. I wonder who that precious one is. And I, like, what is it to relate from this gentle place of preciousness? And that's what we're coming to here. You know, that we as beings could do that. And thank goodness for Lao Tzu telling us all those years ago. You know, we haven't quite cottoned on yet, have we, largely? Like, this is probably quite far out in terms of cultural norm reading. And this is all here. This is all here already for all of us to receive, to wonder about, to let in. And we're in massive questions at the moment in our world about power and how it's held and how we are treating one another. And I'm in this moment feeling led and grateful and held by a kind of wisdom that exists over eons, that we're not separate from, and that we get to find our way back into here and reading things. And Ursula Le Guin has made a huge contribution to the accessibility of this and us reading ordinary language in this language. And so I'm feeling grateful for the translators, you know, for the people who are the bridge between the great wisdoms and the ordinary folk like us, who it's for, but it has to reach us. And I feel really reached, and I feel really grateful and thrown into a deeper place of humanness in this.
Me too. Now I'm left with this joyful wondering about what it would be to bring this deeply, radically countercultural orientation that, like you say, has been around for thousands of years. And in Lao Tzu's time, really influenced people. He wasn't a marginal voice. He was a central voice in his culture. What would it be to take the body seriously, to take our uniqueness seriously, and everyone's, into every place where justice is needed, where something needs to change, into our schools and into our families, into our workplaces, into our government. Incredibly moving proposition.
Yeah.
Well, Lizzie, thank you so much for being in this conversation with me, and thank you to Lao Tzu, now long gone, and Ursula Le Guin, who are also still here with us. And thank you to everyone, all of you who are here with us in this conversation, maybe occasionally or maybe week after week. We're so glad to be in this endeavor with you.
Mm.
And all being well, we'll be back next week.
Bye, everyone.